shut, but it'll be good to have a mass of people in the front rows, if at all possible, for this session. This is the internet governance session, if you think you're in the right room. If not, you can stay anyway. And all I'm going to do, I'm Nigel Hickson from ICANN, and all I have the pleasure of doing is introducing Peter Major, our moderator for today. Now, you've got his title up there, Peter's title, but he's also, in this context, he's a deputy chair of the UN committee, the CSTD, which is the Committee for Scientific and Technology Development. And he's also, in this context, importantly, the chair of the CSTD Working Party on Enhanced Cooperation, which has been set up to report to the CSTD on this issue of enhanced cooperation, which many of you know is an important subject. So, Peter, thank you very much for agreeing to moderate this panel today.
Thank you, Nigel. Ladies and gentlemen, it's an honor to be here. It's a real pleasure to have the excellent panel. Let me introduce our panelists, starting from right to left to right. Mr. Xinming Gao, Vice President of the ISOC China. Mr. Marcus Kumar, in his capacity as interim chair of the IGF. Mr. Tarek Kamel, principal advisor to the CEO of ICANN. Mr. Wolfgang Kleinwächter, Professor Wolfgang Kleinwächter of University of Aarhus. Mr. Paul Wilson, Director General of APNIC. Mr. Eric Loeb, Vice President at AT&T. And last but not least, Bill Graham from the ICANN board, director of the ICANN board. So as Nigel mentioned, I am the vice chair of the Commission of Science and Technology for Development. And more importantly, in this context, I am going to be the chair of the Working Group on Enhanced Cooperation. So this will have a bearing on our discussions today, which is concentrated on the internet governance, the global agenda. Well known that the internet is an extremely complex, evolving ecosystem, which is, in my mind, is in equilibrium. I'm a physicist as a background, so equilibrium means that all the forces try to influence the state of the system, but they are kind of balanced. The internet governance, governance issues may have a bearing on this equilibrium. And I think we have to be extremely careful when handling these governance issues, when we are talking about self-regulations versus control, principles versus regulations, security versus privacy, when we take into account the economic and social impact, or eventually the international telecommunication regulations and the internet, and so on and so forth. So we can feel that the governance itself is extremely complex. And this complexity has been reflected in many events last year, and it will be reflected in many events this year. Just to mention a few, well, we had the ICANN meetings, we had the Commission of Science and Technology for Development meetings, and followed by the ECOSOC meetings. There was a cyberspace conference in Budapest, which was a follow-up to the London conference in 2011. Naturally, we had the 8th IGF in Baku. There was the World Conference of International Telecommunications. And the upcoming ones, well, naturally, we had the General Assembly of the UN, and we have started the WISIS Plus 10 review meetings. We are looking forward to have the World Telecommunication Policy Forum, and so on and so forth. So to my mind, we are on a learning curve, which is a very difficult one. We have to understand very complex issues. We have to understand each other as well. We have to reconcile different interests. So it's at the same time, it's a very exciting activity to deal with the internet governance. Without further ado, let me tell you that how I think we are going to have this session. We are going to concentrate on two main issues: the WISIS review process, including the WISIS Plus 10, which was conducted at the UNESCO last February in Paris. We shall anticipate the ITU similar event, which will take place eventually in Sharm el-Sheikh next year. We shall talk about the IGF in Baku, and we'll have some words about the upcoming event in Bali. I will brief you about the CST, the Working Group of Enhanced Cooperation, the modalities, the mandate, the way I see the meetings will be conducted. And we shall close this session, the part the panelists will talk about, on the review of the United Nations General Assembly of the WISIS itself. Having said that, my intent is that we shall give some introductory remarks, but mainly we would like to hear your opinions, your questions, your comments. So I would like to have this meeting as interactive as it can be, as it usually is during ICANN meetings. So after the first part, we shall turn to the IT-related events. I would start some words about the WRC, that is the World Radio Communication Conference, which was held last year, about some important decisions. We shall talk about the WICKET 12, which is the World Conference of International Telecommunications, which was held last December in Baku. We also deal with the World Telecommunication Policy Forum, which will be in May in Geneva, and have a few words about the upcoming events in 2014, that is the Telecommunication Development Conference, the Plenipotentiary Conference of the ITU, and to close these events by the World Radio Communication Conference in 2015. So once again, after this part, I would like to have your questions, your comments, your observations, as usual. And I hope we can manage in 2 hours. We are obliged not to have translation after 7, so probably we have to stop at 7. But before that, naturally, I would like to have some concluding remarks, one sentence concluding remarks from our panelists, and hopefully the meeting will be a really successful one. Let's start at the beginning, that is the WISIS review meeting. I have one more obligation, that is to introduce a remote panelist, Yanis Karklings, who is participating remotely. He's Assistant Director General of the UNESCO. I'm not sure that he's already online, so probably before giving him the floor, just a reminder about the UN General Assembly resolution, which was taken in 2012 December, which reaffirms the role of the General Assembly in the overall review. Overall review of the visits, implementation of the outcomes of the visits, and this should be held by the end of 2015. And in the same resolution, it decides to consider the modalities for the review process by the end of 2013. Now, UNESCO already had one event related to the Visits Plus 10 Towards Knowledge Society, which was an extremely successful meeting. And I would like you to listen to Yanis Karklins to give his comments. Yanis, can you hear me? Well, apparently he is not online yet. Doesn't matter. Probably we can come back to this meeting and we can continue with the related meeting, which was had also, which will be had by the ITU, UNESCO, UNCTAD, and UNDP, which is the Visits Forum. The Visits Forum will take place in Geneva this May, and it will, as usual, it will have a ministerial roundtable, a high-level dialogue, thematic workshops, action line facilitator meetings, and so on and so forth. And there will be, I think, over 80 workshops in this meeting. The ITU is also planning to have its review meeting in Sharm el-Sheikh in 2014 in April, which will be also a follow-up to the Paris meeting. And this will lead to the ultimate evaluation by the General Assembly. The modalities haven't yet been fixed, as I have already mentioned to you. If Yanis is not online, I would like to turn to my panel. Some of you have participated in this visits review meeting. I can see Wolfgang, who was there, and I believe yes, if you have some comments on that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Peter. Yes, I was in Paris. I organized and chaired one workshop on principles and was involved in a number of other workshops. And the workshop I chaired was on principles on internet governance. I think it's interesting to see that what has happened the last couple of years is that with the growing internet, now we have nearly 4 billion internet users, more and more bodies, international bodies, are considering that they need a policy or a document or a regulation for internet governance. And in the last 2 or 3 years, I have counted more than 25 documents, international and national documents, which defined internet governance principles. The OECD, the Council of Europe, the OCE, the G8, the IPSA countries, the Shanghai Group, a lot of national bodies adopted documents with internet governance principles. So what I have observed is a growing confusion about this issue of internet governance principles, which leads to principle shopping. Because while a lot of these documents, you know, refer to similar principles, there are also substantial differences between the various documents. And we live in one world, we have one internet, and it is obviously not the ideal solution if you have a broad range of different principles which are partly contradicting. So the issue was already discussed in the IGF in Bali, and we had a more deeper discussion in Paris at the WISIS 10 Plus. And the outcome from this WISIS 10 Plus workshop was to recommend to the multi-stakeholder advisory group of the IGF to deepen the discussion in the forthcoming IGF in Bali and to consider the idea whether it would be possible to create something like a framework of commitment for internet governance principles, which would be universal by nature and supported not only by governments, but also by other stakeholders, non-governmental stakeholders, business groups, the technical community, and the civil society, because all those groups also have adopted documents for internet governance principles in the recent years. So I think this is a big challenge. This would be a document which could probably compare with the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which was adopted in 1948. I don't know whether this is realistic, but when Eleanor Roosevelt started the process in the United Nations in 1945, although a lot of people said it's totally unrealistic, and Roosevelt made a very interesting move and said, as long as we keep the principles on a very high level, no torture, freedom to travel, freedom of expression, very short and clear principles, where everybody can agree, then probably we can achieve something. And if they are non-binding, this makes it even easier for partners to join. And while the Universal Declaration of Human Rights is a non-binding document, it had a great influence in the future policies. It did not avoid violations of human rights, but you had a reference document and you could refer to some principles. And so the challenge is now in the internet development. Do we move into such a direction where we think it's a good idea to have on a very high level some non-binding principles where everybody agree, like the internet should be governed on the multi-stakeholder model, it should be open, it should be multilingual, policy should be transparent and bottom-up, and some these general principles where, in particular in the ICANN constituencies, but also a lot of others, can agree. Whether this is achievable is a question, but the process towards Bali is a good opportunity to test it out. So the MAC meeting in Paris created a so-called ad hoc working group on principles to prepare such a session for Bali. And one step in this direction would be to produce a compendium which would, you know, give an overview about all the 25-plus documents so that we have a real basis and we can start from a factual analysis our consideration whether it makes sense to move towards such a framework of commitment of internet governance principles which would be universal, supported by all stakeholders, and non-binding. Thank you.
Thank you, Wolfgang. I understand that Yanis is online. Yanis, if you are online, can you give your presentation?
Yes, thank you. I can try. Do you hear me? Do you hear me, Peter?
Yes, I can.
Very good. So, good afternoon to all of you. I'm speaking from my office in Paris, and thank you for this opportunity to speak a little bit about the Paris WISIS Plus 10 review meeting. As you know, it took place at the end of February this year, and the meeting was attended by about 1,450 participants from 130 countries. We had more than 800 participants following a meeting remotely at different points in time. And during the Paris meeting, we organized in total 83 sessions on different subjects. exclusively. The meeting was devoted was not.
So we hope Yanis will be back with us. We have already touched upon the meeting just after a Paris meeting, with this review meeting, and that was the IGF preparatory meeting. So it leads us to the next topic. We shall come back as soon as Yanis will be online. But let me go to the next topic, that is the IGF itself. We had the IGF 8th meeting in Baku in 2012. Just to give you some statistics, there were about 1,600 participants and more than 100 workshops, roundtables, dynamic coalition meetings, and so on and so forth. And we can qualify it as an extremely interesting meeting, and the taking stock session I had the pleasure to participate was also interesting, and that's where the idea of preparing the compendium Wolfgang has been talking about was first evoked. Probably there were some hesitations about this compendium itself, but it seems to be moving right. There was a big hub during the Paris MAG meeting, which was a preparatory meeting for the next IGF, and we are lucky to have Markus Kummer with us, who is the interim chair of the MAG. So, Markus, can I ask you to comment on this preparatory meeting and the upcoming Bali meeting?
Thank you, yes, and good afternoon. As always, it's a pleasure to be here and to talk to you and share our thoughts and information on the state of internet governance. Yes, we had a good meeting in Paris, and I think also the meeting was timely, coming, 2.5 months after the WCID. We're going to talk about that in the following session, but there was a general sense of participants that many issues had been raised at Dubai in a context that was maybe not conducive to producing answers, as WCID was a treaty-making conference, and discussions in a treaty-making conference are not there to explore an issue, but there to find a treaty text, and that doesn't lend itself to open discussions, and many of the issues raised are actually better at place in a freewheeling discussion, such as in the IGF. One of the issues mentioned was spam. That turned out to be a big issue in Dubai. And in the IGF context, spam had been discussed in 2006 in Athens. And after that, participants felt, yes, we know what it's all about, and there was not felt to be necessary to revisit. And this is why many participants thought spam would be a good issue to explore further in Bali. But that is just an example. On the whole, I think there was a general sense that the IGF needed to revamp itself and reinvent itself. The Baku meeting was very interesting, but at the same time, the main sessions maybe had fallen into too much of a routine track. There was less of excitement about them. They explored the same issues as had been explored in previous IGF meetings, and the energy was much more in the workshops. Many interesting workshops were held, but then again, it was felt that there were too many of them, and that made it difficult for participants to navigate their way through the meeting. And so MAG participants had listened to the open consultations and agreed there would be merit in being bold and finding new and innovative ways of framing the issues. And there was a discussion on what should be maybe new main session issues, and the meeting was not conclusive yet, but among the issues mentioned were enhanced cooperation. This is also something we're going to discuss more in depth, but there was very strong support for human rights, freedom of expression on the internet, internet governance principles, as Wolfgang had already mentioned, but also legal frameworks and cybercrime, that would include spam, cybersecurity, and then also the very principles of multi-stakeholder cooperation were seen to be of interest. And last but not least, also economic and social aspects, the internet as an engine for growth and advancement. And in practical terms, the MAG decided to experiment a little bit in terms of how to move forward with workshops. In the past, the charter issued proposals for workshops. And once the call was issued, the proposals came in and were confronted with ever-increasing number of proposals. So this time around, the MAG decided to issue a call for preliminary proposals, very short proposals that will more outline a concept, an idea of what should be dealt with. And based on that, then the MAG would decide on how to move forward. And now we have had this call issued, and the interest is increasing very high. We had more than 200 preliminary proposals. The challenge now is to reduce them to a manageable program. But the what we received is also an indication where the community feels the priorities should be, and they reflect to a large extent what we had felt after Paris. Many proposals on cybersecurity, on human rights and freedom of expression, on local content multilingualism, on internet resources, on growth and connectivity. There was a lot on capacity building, on youth participation, intellectual property and digital content, and also workshops on multi-stakeholder cooperation and regional cooperation. This is, after all, one of the big success stories of the IGF, that it has stimulated, triggered off national and regional IGF-type initiatives. So we have multi-stakeholder meetings on internet governance in all regions of the world. This is more or less where we are. The big challenge now is to condense that into a coherent program. We are right in the process of it. We meet again in May in Geneva in open consultations, back-to-back with a MAG meeting, and of course we hope on community participation, and those who have submitted the preliminary workshop proposals will hear shortly on how we will move forward with the workshops. I think that more or less sums up the situation as of now. Thank you.
Markus, it's a very, very nice summary of what has been done. Just one short question concerning the upcoming event in Bali. Everything seems to be in place. Is it a correct understanding?
I wonder whether Cheng Etai from the Secretariat might comment briefly, if he can. either go to the, well, it's close to a room microphone. Can you maybe, as you have visited the site, can you give us a quick briefing on where we are with our host country and the preparations for the meeting? Oh, yeah. It might be quicker to go to the microphone.
Okay, thank you very much, Marcus. Yes, we did do a site visit, and they offered us two sites. One was the Hyatt Convention Center, and the other one was a brand new site which the government had built. I think the government is leaning towards the brand new site, so it's large, it's roomy, very thick walls, lots of areas to get refreshments, and I think it will suit our needs very well, depending on the number of workshops that we finally get. The host country agreement is proceeding very well. We've had no major issues, just the standard issues that we've had. We've talked to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Also, we've talked to the Transport Ministry. We've also checked the site out for hospital. There's going to be a doctor there on standby who can prescribe medicine. We've checked the site for people with disabilities, and it's fully capable of handling that. So I think, everything has not been finalized yet, but it is progressing very well compared to the last seven IGFs. It's fine. Yeah, I've got no worries at the moment.
Thank you, Chengadaya. I'm glad to hear that, and it's very reassuring. I wonder if, Eric, you would like to comment.
Hi. I thought I'd take a step back for a moment. We've jumped into a lot of details about facets of WSIS and the WSIS process, and perhaps making an assumption that everybody understands the alphabet soup of all the acronyms, all the aspects of WSIS that we are talking about. So I'm going to just make a brief point, but perhaps helpful clarification to understand the structure and how the different pieces of this puzzle fit together. And also, just to also mention, I'm here not just on behalf of AT&T, but also the International Chamber of Commerce, where I support the work as the chair of the Internet and Telecoms Task Force there, and so representing the ICC national committees and business communities across the many countries where the ICC operates. So just important to highlight, under the WSIS umbrella, we're talking right now about three distinct components, each of which has its own purpose, all of which are intended to point towards the goal of creating an inclusive and stable and secure internet. We have the WSIS action lines, WSIS plus 10, and these are action oriented, fairly specific, sharing best practices, sharing success stories, meeting every May and coming together in one manner, and the process that's been described is going on. We have the IGF, as Marcus has just described, can be a very free-flowing exchange of ideas. And we have also, as Peter is chairing, the working group on enhanced cooperation. So just to help people understand these three different things running so you have a feel for it, say one thing from an ICC perspective, looking at the working group that's happening right now on enhanced cooperation, the priority that we're looking at in this is to ensure that the concepts of enhanced cooperation remain fully multi-stakeholder.
To the enhanced cooperation just a little bit later, I will give some introductory remarks.
Okay. Most importantly, I just wanted to set out the framework, make sure that everyone in the room has a sense of the different pieces that we're talking about up here.
Okay. So I'm told that Yanis is back online, so let's try again. Yanis, if you are with us for a couple of minutes, you have the floor. Okay, so Eric made a nice introduction to Enhanced Cooperation, and my task is facilitated by that. So yes, probably I should have dwelt a bit more on the visas issues, but I assume that everybody is familiar with that. Everybody has the small booklet and knows the inside of every page and then can interpret it. Just let me quote two paragraphs from the Tunis agenda. We had the Geneva meeting in 2003, which was followed by the 2005 meeting in Tunis. And in Tunis, the high-level meeting agreed on a so-called Tunis agenda. So I'm going to quote two paragraphs from that concerning enhanced cooperation. We further recognize the need for enhanced cooperation in the future to enable governments on an equal footing to carry out their roles and responsibilities in the international public policy issues pertaining to the internet, but not in the day-to-day technical and operational matters that do not impact on international public policy issues. That is the first paragraph I wanted to quote, and the second one is the process towards enhanced cooperation to be started by the UN Secretary-General, involving all relevant organizations by the end of the first quarter of 2006, will involve all stakeholders in their respective roles, will proceed as quickly as possible, consistent with the legal process, and will be responsive to innovation. Okay, I stop here with the quote, and further to that, I would like to give you some additional information about the actions which have been taken. So in 2006, Nitin Desai, who was at that time the special advisor to the Secretary General on IGF and business-related issues, conducted an informal consultation. And to put it very bluntly, in his report he wrote that there was no agreement. As a follow-up to that, there was, in 2008, the Secretary-General of the UN invited 10 international organizations to report on the enhanced cooperation progress. In 2010, the UN Undersecretary General, Mr. Shah, convened a multi-stakeholder consultation. And last year, the chair of the CSTD conducted also a multi-stakeholder consultation. And for some, this consultation was a successful one. For others, it was not. This consultation, I talk about the last year consultation, was followed by the CSTD session and the drafting a resolution about the WISIS follow-up. And we have already raised the question of creating a multi-stakeholder working group. However, at that time, this proposal didn't fly. We had to wait until the end of the year when the UN General Assembly took the decision of setting up a multi-stakeholder working group on enhanced cooperation. And on the next slide, you can see the resolution which invites the chair of the CSTD to establish this working group regarding the enhanced cooperation through seeking, compiling, and reviewing inputs from member states and all other stakeholders, and to make recommendations on how to fully implement this mandate. And it should report, I mean, the chair of the CSTD should report by on the 2014 session of the CSTD, and it will go directly through ECOSOC to the UN General Assembly. I think it was last week, I was nominated as chair of this working group, and I am honored to chair it. However, I know it will be an enormous task. In the following slide, I will show you the composition of the working group. You have 22 member states, 20 are from the CSTD members, 2 states are the visits organizing countries, that is Switzerland and Tunisia. And you have 5 representatives from each stakeholder, that is civil society, business, academia, and international organizations. Let me take the opportunity of just briefing you. I think it may be of some interest, how I think the working group is going to work. What will be the modalities? Well, first of all, as I always do, I think we should stick strictly to the mandate of the working group. We should respect that it is a multi-stakeholder approach. And to me, the most important part in this type of working group is the mutual trust. We have learned lessons. We know that this is the beginning and the end, eventually, of the successful work of a working group. If we don't have this trust, we cannot build up this trust, then we cannot have any result. And results we want. I believe, and I'm convinced, that all the members who applied to be members of the multi-stakeholder working group come to the meeting with the determination of achieving some results. I know that there was a very, very long process of selecting the members for the working group. It was done in a bottom-up way, and I'm glad the working group has been set up in this way. And I'm confident, as I told you, that we are going to achieve results. There is a considerable interest in the work of the working group. ECOSOC rules allow observers to the work of the working group. Having said that, I have to also mention that we have constraints. And these constraints are time, resources, venue, and so on. But most importantly, what I told you, for me, the constraint is building up the trust. It's an extremely difficult task. So in case we can build up this trust, it is my thought that we should do it first to build up within the group itself. Probably it wouldn't be helpful to have many observers, especially at the first meeting. The first meeting is just a getting together. I will talk about that a bit later, but probably this is the beginning of building up a trust. I think we shall start the preliminary consultations probably online, but I'm lucky to be here and to have many members of the working group here at the ICANN meeting, so we can have the physical face-to-face consultations right here. And based on these preliminary consultations, I would like to have the physical meeting in Geneva, the first one starting on the 30th of May. It will be a 1.5-2-day meeting. I plan to have 3, eventually 4 more meetings this year. These meetings will be longer meetings, and probably that will be the point where observers can participate. We anticipate as well to have streaming. We have done always the way that the results of the sessions are made available on the website of the UNCTAD. So in this way, we are quite open. In addition to the 3, eventual 4 meetings this year, I plan to have an additional meeting next year by the end of February, beginning of March, because we are obliged to produce a report, the chair's report, and hopefully recommendations by the end of February, beginning of March. UNCTAD has the obligation of having this material translated into 5 languages and to submit it to the ECOSOC and to the General Assembly of the United Nations. As for the preliminary consultations, my aim is to define objectives which are based on the visit's Tunis agenda. And the relevant UN resolutions. In this phase, I would like to identify topics which are related to the enhanced cooperation, cybersecurity principles, examples of enhanced cooperation, capacity building, and so on. I would like to have the members to agree on these topics we are going to discuss, and I would like to have a result-oriented approach. And naturally, we have to agree on the schedule itself. And as I told you, I planned the first meeting. How do I go back? On the 31st of May. Unfortunately, this coincides with the ITU WISIS Council Working Group meeting, so there will be an overlap. In this meeting, we try to come up with a questionnaire as we are instructed by UN resolution. And we hope to have responses from the stakeholders by the middle of July. The Secretariat will compile the responses and will prepare a summary of the responses. And this will be the basis of the further discussions. So I envisage to have a rolling document during the meetings. And at the end of all meetings, I will come up with a report. So basically, that's the information about the enhanced cooperation. We will have time to take your questions, but right now I'm informed again that Mr. Karklings is online. Yanis, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you. Maybe the third time will be the lucky one. Do you hear me? Do you hear me?
Yes.
Maybe the third time will be the lucky one. Thank you, Peter. Now, the third slide. I gave these numbers of the Paris meeting. And the next slide. In the run-up to the part, we mentioned 7, which okay.
Yanis, I'm afraid we can't hear you. The only thing we can do is make your slides available, probably on the ICANN website, and I'm sure there will be many people interested and they can download it and have a look at it. Well, I'm really sorry, but I think the quality of the audio is not the best. So I think we can just close this part of the session and take your questions concerning business-related issues, enhanced cooperation, and so on. So don't be shy, just queue up to the microphone. Yes, identify yourself.
Okay, my name is João Carlos Caribe. I'm from Brazil. I'm a member of a collective of cyber activists that fight for internet freedom, for keep the net neutrality and the other valuable issues we know here. I'm a newcomer on ICANN, but I'm not newcomer on this kind of international forum discussion. And there are three words that have two key words that has a great value for us: mood stakeholder, bottom up, and universalization. One word, one internet, is the one I would add to this. My question is not that exactly a question, but it is a provocation. When you say about the bottom up, which bottom we are talking about? Really? Our parliaments for our countries are prepared to join us in this kind of discussion. Our academics are prepared to join us in this kind of discussion. I can't imagine our grassroots civil society joining this one. How can we break up this? Working inside the cluster of debates is important. You do a great work on this forum. You make a great resolution. But the world needs to hear us. That's my provocation. Oh, see, yes. I just remind, I'm very proud to hear this morning the CEO of ICANN saying the All Internet Steering Committee is a sample of the mood stakeholder steering committee. Thank you.
Thank you for your question. I have to admit that I am not a specialist in button questions, and I will leave my fellow panelists who feel qualified to answer that. As for the Brazilian model, I fully concur with the CEO of ICANN. It is really a model for all of us. And in my meetings, I have extremely good relationship with the Brazilian delegates, and they are extremely helpful in conveying these messages. So any one of you who feels comfortable commenting on button questions, so please feel free. I'm afraid I cannot find many specialists, but more seriously, the question was about how to adopt, if I got it right, the Brazilian model in a broader sense. Anyone, Wolfgang or Tarek, if you feel like as your CEO was in Brazil, and probably he talked a lot about his impressions.
Thank you, and concerning the question that has been put, yes, indeed. I mean, if we look to try to bring the discussion back on track, we have started from a WSIS document that has been issued in Tunis in 2005. And this gentleman to my right has been one of the pioneers writing this document. We have within this document very great values that we are very proud of as a community. Enhanced cooperation, as Peter has mentioned, is part of it. But we also have in paragraph 55 the recognition of the multi-stakeholder model, the working and the functioning of the multi-stakeholder model for the first time probably in the UN history. So this gives us recognition. And if we need to start really developing, this is the reference. This is the reference that we should be starting from. And we should be building on that. And then, as a community, looking backwards, what did we achieve within the last 8 years or the last 9 years from the day of the recognition of the multi-stakeholder model as a functional model and as a successful model when it comes to innovation, when it comes to private sector contribution, and. So if you ask what is the bottom, this is the bottom. From my point of view, that we have started from, and we need to build on it as a community. During that process, it's a long journey, and it's not an easy journey, and it's a bumpy journey, as such. And we might, as a community, have succeeded in some issues, and maybe not achieved the same level of success on other issues when it comes to internet governance and the definition of internet governance. Again, according to what is there within the Tunis agenda. So
We need to review what we have been doing together, and I think as a community we need to ask ourselves, from the different milestones that Peter has mentioned at the beginning concerning the enhanced cooperation, and Eric has then complemented the enhanced cooperation, the WSIS reviews, and the IGF, the UN General Assembly review in 2015. We should be able as a community to define what do we want out of each of these events, or what do we want to avoid from each of these events as such. And this question is an easy is not an easy question to be answered, and it's not easy to get consensus. But at least if we start the dialogue, the right dialogue on an international level for this question, I think this will help us a lot as contributors to go there focused and to go there with very specific targets and with very specific plans on the mid-level. While we are doing that, as you have mentioned, we need to be inclusive. We need to be getting the rest of the world with us. We need to make it international as much as we can, and we need to include the civil society definitely in addition to the private sector and the government. So in my opinion, this is the path, and we have a homework and we have a responsibility as a multi-stakeholder community to look backwards. What is the reference? What is the bottom, as you have said? Where are we starting from? And to build on that, and to put also a plan for the next 2 years, what do we want to achieve or what do we want to avoid? I will give a simple example. In WICKED, for example, the community had a very clear objective. It wanted to avoid the inclusion of internet issues within the international treaty. I'm not saying that we have achieved that 100%, but there was a clear objective while we were there and working on and towards it as a community. So we need together to make this definition and to revise this definition and to update these definitions while we are moving over the roadmap until 2015. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Stefano, please.
Okay, thank you. So my culture is coming with the internet, and I was among those that encouraged the creation of the Internet Society. Then I joined ICANN, and then am the GAC member with the major seniority in the GAC. So this is important because, of course, I always spent all the time and the effort with the Internet community. And, but we have to recognize that there are a number of states that, especially when going to UN or to ITU and so on, are talking a different language. But what is it is to be noted is that, especially in ICANN, for example, we have a good cooperation in the GAC and not only with the countries that in ITU speak a different language. And so even some of the Europeans, including my colleagues in Italy, when they go to ITU, speak a different language. Because there is this contentious issues regarding the evolution of the telcos about the economic interest and things like that. So the sense of my message is that from those that are more connected to the evolution of the internet, we need to have unlimited patience. Unlimited, because we have to bring the two opinions as close as possible. And for example, we had a post-WICKED event in Rome recently, and Nigel Hickson was there to talk for ICANN. And we had a presentation of the Secretary General of ITU that said that WICKED was a success, complete success. And then maybe we simply waited that countries that did not sign will sign. And so, but little by little, there was also the presentation of Terry Kramer, the leader of the U.S. Delegation in Dubai, and they started not to stress the difference of views. And so we have to, we see all this enormous list of new events that will take place from now to 2015. And so we need the patience, we need to go there, we need to interact with those that have a different views. And in my opinion, it's not only a question of bottom-up, but it's a question of try to build up the confidence, as Peter said, and the trust. Thank you.
Thank you, Stefano. Just to comment what you said, that is why I mentioned at the very beginning of the presentation that I think we are on a learning curve, and there is much to learn from each other. Yes, the following gentleman, please identify yourself.
I'm Ponsloyd from NPOC. I'll first make a comment and a question. I want to go back to paragraph 55, which Tariq rightly mentioned about the multi-stakeholder model is a functional model. But how well is it functional in the sense of really taking it down from the bottom-top approach? Because it looks as if at the bottom it's working. Because I was lucky enough to be part of civil society to be with the Gambian government at the weekend. And Wolfgang mentioned something earlier on when he talked about spam, some governments wanting to bring spam back during the weekend, which was very funny, especially when it was discussed in detail in Athens and some governments. But why were these governments bringing it up? You discover that a lot of them, they are not involved in their national processes at the Internet Governance Forum. And the question I want to put to the panel here is, how do we engage our governments better at the National Internet Governance Forum and later on at the Regional Forum? Because when they are engaged properly within all the sectorial areas, then we won't have problems that arise during the weekend. Because a lot of the things that arise during the weekend, they were easily to be dealt with at national self-regulation matters. And that has been the main problem. So you have different players in the GAC from governments, different players in the ITU from governments and stuff like that. But all these people, if we can get them all to sit together at the national and their regional IGF forums, then it will be a better place. And that's where the problem is. And I think, lastly, I would like to encourage my colleagues, who most of them here are involved in their national internet governance forums, we have to engage our governments. That will make things easier for everyone and all of us. Thank you.
Thank you for this comment. It's very valuable. Just to react on that, you may know that there was a CSTD working group on improvements up to the IGF, and in its recommendations, I believe we had a recommendation of greater government involvement in IGF issues. Now, I am always optimistic since the UN General Assembly took note of this report and invited the Secretary General to report on the implementation of these recommendations, so probably there will be some effect on that. But it also depends on us. Thank you again. Yes, Franklin, the floor is yours.
Peter, maybe we invite the panel.
Oh, I'm sorry, before I give you the floor. Bill, you want to take?
Well, in terms of getting governments involved, it's really a matter, I think, of reaching out to governments whenever there's a national forum and speaking to them about the importance. Many of the country code organizations have good relations with governments, and have using that as a mechanism to make contact, I think, is always valuable. But a really fundamental problem, I think, is with the funding at the IGF. Many other UN organizations have established budgets, and they have programs to bring governments in to participate, and that's not the case with the IGF. Marcus, of course, is very aware of this, as is Chengetai. So far, the IGF is largely funded by voluntary contributions, and some donors have been extremely generous with their contributions, and yet it's very expensive to run an operation like that that revolves around the world. And this is an issue that I understand was talked about at some length in Paris. I'm hearing of increasing donations being made by various organizations, including ICANN, which has decided to increase its contribution to the IGF considerably this year. If parties, governments, private sector, the civil society step up and help in this issue, or if the United Nations were to recognize the full value of the IGF and give it a regular budget, that would help tremendously in involving governments, because particularly from the developing world, it's a real challenge to follow a complex process like this. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Anyone from the panel on this? If not, Franklin, please.
Thank you, Peter. Good afternoon or good evening, everybody. My name is Franklin Neto. I am from the Ministry of External Relations of Brazil. And at first, I would like to commend ICANN for organizing this event within the regular ICANN meeting. Certainly, it's very positive to have a space to discuss internet governments, internet governance on a wider perspective with a wider approach. And this is something that certainly adds to the perception that multi-stakeholderism is an important issue also in this institution as well. I would like to make a comment on the question of principles. But first, let me also thank ICANN and the leadership and Mr. Fadi for mentioning the Brazilian Steering Committee this morning. It was we thank him for that, and I would like to say that we saw his words this morning and the presentation that he made on the many mechanisms that he's bringing into the institution to enhance even more its mechanisms to improve its responsiveness to the various stakeholders, and then we also commend him for that. But regarding the question of principles that Professor Kleinwächter mentioned, Brazil had an opportunity to take part in this workshop there in the WISIS event in UNESCO in Paris. Then I would just like to mention one aspect that probably could be of interest of the audience here as well. Brazil is a country that is fully and deeply committed to the multi-stakeholder system of governance in the internet. And this commitment is what enabled the creation of a body, which is the CGI that was mentioned here in the morning. In this body is where the discussion on the crafting of the principles for the use of internet of Brazil, this body is the place where the discussion took place, on an open manner, listening to the various stakeholders, but it was the legitimacy of the principles as we have it today in Brazil, they come very much from the legitimacy of the body that crafted these principles. So it's a body where the constituencies themselves choose the representatives on a bottom-up manner, and this is what leads to principles with legitimacy. I think this is an important that could be of interest when we discuss on when we are creating more momentum on the discussion of principles of universal reach. Then I think since this is the moment where multi-stakeholderism is more and more being adopted and being more accepted and being more entering into the core values of all the institutions that deal with internet governance, then we think the moment is ripe for having, since we have multi-stakeholderism with legitimacy, then the moment is ripe for the discussion of principles. This is the reason why Brazil is one of the countries that is also supporting this discussion of principles that could be of universal values on internet governance. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Franklin. I believe the Brazilian principles constitute the core of this compendium we are talking about. So we are heavily building on that. But I would like to have the comments eventually from the panelists and in a broader aspect, the participation in the IGF, the financing of the IGF, or any question related to IGF. For instance, let me turn to Mr. Goh. How do you see the IGF itself and the future, and how can we improve it?
Thank you, Peter. I personally have taken part in IGF meeting several times. My personal feeling is very valuable for us to learn each other, particularly to appreciate the principle of the modest hero model and to seek the balance between the some conflicted aspect in internet, for example, security versus for the privacy, control and server regulation, and et cetera. And also, we appreciate the principle of the bottom-to-up principle to more focus on the desire and opinions from net citizens. I take an example to you. In China, my organization is the Internet Social Society of China. We are seeking some self-regulation regulations. Also, we have done a lot of collecting of the opinions from different companies in they are involved in the internet industries, and collect all the opinions, and we seek some balance and a compromise approach to make some healthy developing of the internet industry, particularly to protect net citizen interest, the end user interest. So I think I think the internet governance Internet Governance Forum is valuable for us. We will continue very active participants in this event. Concerning of the how to improve the IGF, according to my personal opinion, maybe we have to seek some principle more focused on the development for ICT for development aspect, because it is very interest for everyone, for every nation, every country. If the internet can contribute to promote development every country, then it's benefit for all. My feeling in China, I think we have met a lot of progress in the internet applications. I take an example. The e-commerce in China, every year, the transaction volume increased more than 50%, 40%. And now is a lot of young people, they already they buy something only online, no shopping physically. So I think if we make some such a progress further, then the internet can promote the economic development and promote the restructure of the economic development. So my opinion is more focused on the ICT for development. And also this purpose for this action plan. Second point, my opinion is I think the IGF forum further should be focused more focus on the cybersecurity issues. It's also is very, very important issues. And also in this area is need the international cooperation. Now my society already did some efforts to make cooperation with other countries in aspect of the anti-spam field. We signed the agreement with Korea, with other countries, with Japan, yeah, and make a lot of results for us and beneficial for all countries. So I think in this area we have to do more in this aspect. So I think IGF should be continued, and also IGF should be improved. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Gao. It was very helpful. Paul, you wanted to take the floor.
Thank you. Thank you, Peter. I'm Paul Wilson. I'm a member of the MAG, the Multi-Stakeholder Advisory Group, at the moment, so I thought I should also take this chance to say a few words about IGF. And going back to what Tarek reminded us of earlier, it was the WSIS that gave us not only the recognition by the UN of the multi-stakeholder process, but it also gave us the definition of internet governance, and it gave us the IGF as the place by its mandate for internet governance to be discussed. And I think that's a very powerful thing. It's a very big responsibility, and it's an opportunity that we need to continue to dwell on and make sure that we take up and we fulfil our responsibilities to it. There is no alternative to the IGF, and while there are internet governance challenges to be met, we really have no other place to talk about them following the definition of internet governance itself and the multi-stakeholder model. I think while there are internet governance challenges, the IGF will need to continue, and when you consider that the internet today is a small fraction of the size that it will be in another 10 or 20 years' time, we shouldn't just be thinking about the IGF as something that needs to last until the end of the current five-year cycle, but something which should be here in the next in 10 years' time and in 20 years' time in some form or other, because until we know what replaces it, we can't afford to lose it. So I do think I'm just really repeating the call for the serious consideration to be given to the continuance of the IGF. I think the role of governments is actually critical there in a sort of circular manner, because unless the IGF continues to demonstrate its use to governments, then they won't be there. And without governments, I mean, the IGF is a multi-stakeholder institution, if you like, and without any particular stakeholder being there in some force, its legitimacy is obviously, or its effectiveness is obviously under question. So the presence of governments is needed for the IGF to be effective. So I think the fourth thing that the WSIS gave us, and probably the fourth element, the one that has been less successful or less explored, is enhanced cooperation. And so I know that there's now the CSTD working group that's going to take on the consideration of enhanced cooperation, and I'm sure that'll be a useful and productive thing. But I think personally I'd like to see, and many have called for this, I think, we'd like to see enhanced cooperation being brought together within the IGF, so that there is no longer a set of competing concepts, or particularly when one at the moment is as vague and unexplored as it is. We'll see the result after the working group has done its work. But to bring those together in future may well be part of the solution to an IGF that actually does attract governments. That where governments see that the enhanced cooperation that some of them have called for within and between governments actually can be carried out within the IGF as well, and perhaps in a future incarnation, a future revision of the IGF, we might start to look at the concept of internet cooperation as a new version of enhanced cooperation and internet governance together. And I can imagine a future Internet Cooperation Forum, which actually was a properly, dare I say it, institutionalised body that actually carried in the spirit of cooperation, and that's a well-tested and well-understood governmental idea as well, but in that spirit it carried the responsibility for Internet governance going forward. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul. It's very interesting. I concur with what you said, especially in the first part. As for the second part, probably I would be a bit more cautious to get on board the two processes and merge them. Definitely there may be a time when we arrive to the enhanced cooperation in the way you mentioned, but for the time being I still feel that we have to build up the confidence in this negotiations. I give back the floor to
your consulate again from MPOC. I just wanted the speaker that earlier spoke on funding in terms of UN organizations. I just wanted to mention that at national processes, you have the United Nations Development Programme, which usually engage with mostly with government. And in the Gambia, what we did, we engaged the UNDP, which engaged with the government directly, so the government were able to be involved and the UNDP were involved. And in our last national IGF, the UNDP put in the money through the particular line ministry of the Ministry of Information, Communication and Infrastructure to help have a national forum. So that can be a model through UNDPs in different countries to be able to get governments to work in partnership, because the governments always work with the UNDPs in local countries. I just wanted to say that. Thank you.
Thank you for this comment. Yes?
Sorry, Peter.
Oh, I'm sorry, I haven't seen. Yeah, just go ahead.
Thank you. Joy Lidicote from the Non-Commercial Users Constituency, also GNSO Council. Councillor, and I should probably disclose, recently had the privilege of being appointed to the working group as a civil society representative. I firstly just want to thank you for this panel and the quality of the contributions from our panellists and questions from the floor. One thing I'm sort of sitting with, having been involved in the IGF and in ICANN and other forums, often is if IGF is the answer, then what's the question? And for me and many of the civil society groups I work with, it's that stakeholders in their respective roles need a platform where they can come together equally to talk about the pressing public policy issues that concern them. And there isn't any other forum that has yet been created that provides that space. So I'm delighted that there's an opportunity to reflect on enhanced cooperation and what that means in light of the Tunis Agenda. I think for ICANN and those constituencies here, a key challenge for us is what is the ICANN contribution to that discussion, not just as an institution, but as a community, because the internet, by definition, is a community. So what are our respective contributions? And to that extent, I suppose a question really for panellists is, while we might spend a lot of time debating the definition of enhanced cooperation, perhaps we could look more for indicators, or do we know it when we see it? And frequently in an ICANN context or a multi-stakeholder bottom-up process, we can feel good and know when we feel a process has respected the values imbued in that. And so I'm just wondering if the panellists have, you know, got any particular thoughts about some of those indicators or, of enhanced cooperation that they might be looking for or wanting to explore or wanting more inputs from, particularly from ICANN and its communities about and its work. Thanks.
Thank you. I think it's extremely useful. Personally, I think for me it's very useful. But I turn to the panellists. Yes.
Yeah, thank you for the question. And when it comes specifically to the debate of enhanced cooperation, I mean, it's not easy to define enhanced cooperation. Is it enhanced cooperation within the existing organizations or among the existing organization or with new organizations? But you have asked very specifically what is ICANN's contribution, and therefore I'm trying to step in within this debate. very specifically, in addition to having Bahar Asmat as a representative representing us within the Enhanced Cooperation Working Group of the CSCD, we try to demonstrate what has happened concerning enhanced cooperation from our point of view within the last 8 or or 9 years. For example, within ICANN, there has been the affirmation of commitment. This was a step forward compared to the GPA before. And there has been the revision, ATRT version 1. Now ATRT version 2 is starting to its process and should end towards the end of the year. The accountability is now not necessarily towards one government, but more towards the GAC. We are trying to empower the GAC as much as we can in order to include as many governments as we can to let their voices heard within the GAC when it comes to public policy issues very specifically. And I think the new GTLD program, for example, has triggered immense interest from various governments all over the world to participate or to re-participate. Some of them were there in the past, and now they're activating again their participation on the GAC. So we see that there are different definitions of enhanced cooperation. We try to contribute as much as we can. We're not necessarily claiming that the model is perfect yet, but at least we are moving forward with the various revision of the ATRTs, as I have mentioned, version 1 and now version 2. But in addition to that, I have to say that the whole community, not only ICANN staff or ICANN community, but the whole multi-stakeholder internet community, and here I'm coming back to what Stefano has mentioned about internet community. I was talking about the internet multi-stakeholder community. The internet multi-stakeholder community should be coming up with a clear roadmap and definition. What do we want to achieve within the next 2.5 years, in my opinion, from each of these events? Or what do we want to avoid as such? When it comes to enhanced cooperation, for example, I might give some very few ideas crossing my mind to trigger a discussion. I want multi-stakeholder enhanced cooperation. When it comes to the IGF, as my dear friend Paul Wilson has said, we want the IGF to continue because it has been, to a great extent, successful, and we don't have another umbrella of multi-stakeholderism within the UN until now. And the beauty about it, that it is not only becoming a global IGF, but it's becoming regional and becoming national, and with very little funding. So there is a real need that creates really this dynamism out of the IGF. So these are a couple of examples that we need to define as a community when we are going together to these forums, what do we want out of them? So this is probably some of the contribution that ICANN can contribute a bit in this direction. Thank you.
Thank you, Tarek. It's very, very interesting and very useful. Yes, Eric.
So in discussions about this with other colleagues active in ICC, one of the starting points that we've come to is that for those that are calling for enhanced cooperation, and there are many, the question that would be very helpful for the process is, what specifically must be enhanced? And if that sort of specific target or critique could be articulated, it would greatly help with a constructive discussion to follow, rather than what often is placed is just the general statement that we must have enhanced cooperation.
Thank you. Yes, Wolfgang, shortly.
I think it's a very good point to say, what has to be enhanced? I think that's a good question. So I come back to an academic meeting we had in 2007 or 2008 where we tried from an academic point of view to define what it is, and we ended up with a formula which is probably helpful for the working group. We said the first thing which has to be enhanced is communication among all parties, because some parties do not talk to each other. And they do not know really what the others are doing. So that means enhanced cooperation starts with enhanced communication. And if the communication leads to the discovery that
two parties are doing similar things, then there is probably a need for coordination. So that means then the coordination among various bodies has to be enhanced. And then, you know, if it comes to overlapping issues, then probably collaboration is also needed to clear who does what, and which would help then. And the formula which emerged from this three enhancements was EC3. So that means an enhanced communication, coordination, and collaboration was our understanding from what enhanced cooperation is. But we should not forget that the history from enhanced cooperation, as we know it from the Tunis agenda, goes back to the WCAG and was linked to a hot debate about the oversight function of ICANN. And there were four models, and the WCAG could not agree on the four models. And also the Tunis summit could not agree on the four models. And the outcome was a process on enhanced cooperation. But I think it would be a big mistake to go back to the WCAG times, to turn the clock back, because a lot of things have changed since 2005. The whole environment has changed. We have now more than or nearly 4 billion internet users. We have a lot of new challenges and consequences. And we have also, ICANN has changed dramatically. Tarek mentioned the AOC. Tarek mentioned, you know, a lot of new developments which have more or less the questions from 2003 and 2004 not totally obsolete, but, you know, not as a first priority. There are new challenges, and the working group should look forward and not backward if it goes to the definition or working on recommendations for enhanced cooperation. Thank you.
Thank you, Wolfgang. I certainly do not want to go back to WCAG, and as for your words for enhanced communications, probably we should take note of that in view of what has happened today. Let me give the floor to...
My name is Dieter Amon, and I am from the board of NICSIAR. Well, I think it's so clear what you have mentioned about general principles, and that's the way to proceed. We really need a Bill of Rights, like the U.S. Constitution, or the citizens' rights that we learn from the French Constitution. I mean, we are here in a new space that need principles, certainly. Universal principles, of course, that should be accepted universally. Now, if you have some patience with me, let me tell you that I help organizing the ICANN meeting in Costa Rica, meeting 43, and I see that many of you were here, and I think this was a great meeting. Now, but I think what was for me pivotal was the address of our First Lady President. This is considered, like people like Stephen, many people, as a pivotal speech, because many of the issues that we are discussing now that then went to Toronto, to Prague, and of course to Dubai, were touched upon there. And it's very important that the head of state could convince other governments and really send this to the United Nations. And I think this is our goal. Otherwise, we will have 1,005 meetings from this one, and we will be turning around. So we need a set of principles. Now, so let me just tell you the ending sentences of that speech, because this was really said before Dubai. So the ending speech of our Lady President was the following: the legitimate concerns of the field of privacy, security, and protection of intellectual property should not become an excuse to justify trends seeking to exercise highly restrictive controls on cyberspace. The design of internet governance should be based on a multi-stakeholder approach, regardless of our political, corporate, and financial power. And this one, I like it very much. Internet is the greatest opportunity we have in history. so as not to repeat our past errors that led to the creation of international governance institutions that are vertical, closed, and bureaucratic. So I think she really went to the core of what we are. So I really commend you to go to that speech and try to build consensus at the government levels. And if we can help on that, we will be, of course, delighted. Thank you.
I promise I'll try to do that. Marilyn, you are the last speaker on
Thank
this
you,
issue.
Peter. My name is Marilyn Cade. It was difficult for me to arrange to be the last speaker, but I feel fortunate to have done that.
You are the most important.
In the interest of disclosure, as Joy, I would like to state that I will be one of the five business representatives on the working group. And the reason I came to the microphone is I wanted to make two points. One is a comment about the importance of a panel that focuses on this topic within and scheduled during the ICANN meeting and the importance of doing it early, such as on Monday, before the governments have to leave on Thursday. And we miss the great opportunity to ensure we have all stakeholders in the room to participate and dialogue. So that was point number one. Point number two is I noticed the timing on the agenda for the responses from stakeholders. I think one of the things that I'm very cognizant of is while it's good to talk to ourselves at ICANN, it's incredibly important and will be very important for the working group to be very creative and innovative in how we talk to others and how we reach others to ensure that there is a very broad and easy way to take comments very broadly and responses from stakeholders. The timing of the closing date is right in the middle of the Durban meeting, I believe, right? I just note that because undoubtedly we will want to have some kind of a status report or rumination or consideration of the status while we're in Durban together as well of what progress has been made on this. CSTD has perhaps, the Commission on Science and Technology has perhaps not been as visible to all of us in the important role that it can play. The countries that are members of CSTD bring together the ministers of science and technology. And one thing that I would look forward to is really being able to reflect on the important role that that commission can also play in, obviously, in the role that it plays in follow-up to the WSIS, but the important role that that commission can also play in reaching a whole new set of ministers that perhaps can help to broaden the awareness and participation of the involvement of governments, along with, of course, the other work we all need to do with other stakeholders. Thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn. Well, with that, I think we close the first part of the session and we go to the second one. And we try to talk about some ITU-related forums or fora. First of all, we have already mentioned the Wicket, and probably don't really want to go into depth. What was the main objective of the Wicket? Basically, it was an update to the existing ITRs. Which are still valid, which were compiled in 1988 in Melbourne. And there was a wish to have an update to this international telecommunication regulations. There was also some member states who would have liked to include internet into the scope of the ITRs. However, I think most member states wanted to stick to the existing ones, but having some updates on them. Basically, as you may know, there was a vote during the wicket, which is extremely unusual in ITU. In ITU, most conferences, except for the plenipotentiary conference, always go by consensus. Even the more controversial political issues are decided by consensus, and it works. However, this is the first time I experienced that there was a vote on some issue, and it was in the case of the preamble when we had a vote. The preamble is not mandatory. The ITRs are. So basically, that was one of the reasons that many of the member states did not sign the treaty itself. In the following slide, I just give you a quick picture. The Greens have signed and the Whites have not. So there are about 55 member states who didn't sign it. Well, here I think what we may consider, what are the effects of this conference? So what are the cleavages? Are there any positive effects? Well, personally, I think there was at least one positive effect of the Dubai conference, which was in some way a follow-up of cooperation between ICANN and the ITU. Fadi Shehadeh came to the IGF and then met Hamadoun Touré. And as a follow-up, during the wicket, there was a declaration of cooperation, or complementarity, rather, of ICANN and ITU, and I found it extremely a positive sign. There were issues coming up, directly or indirectly, from this conference, and that is the multi-stakeholder model, the state control, or something in between. So I would like to turn to the panel about some assessment of the outcomes of this conference. But before doing that, probably Nigel, you would like to comment on that, some words?
Well, thank you, Peter. No, all really I wanted to do, and I'm conscious of the time and I'm conscious of the panel ought to be making a contribution, so all I wanted to say was about the World Telecommunications Policy Forum, and no doubt the panel might have comments on this. The World Telecommunications Policy Forum is on internet governance, whereas the Dubai event was on international telecommunications and we discussed the internet. This time, the World Telecommunications Policy Forum coming up in Geneva in May is on internet governance, so we'll probably discuss internet governance or perhaps something else. But the importance of this policy forum, and that's just why I wanted to mention it, because I know some of the community will be going, or some of your colleagues in the community will be going, is that it's going to touch on the sort of issues that we're discussing this week. It's going to touch on the multi-stakeholder approach, it's going to touch on enhanced cooperation, it's going to touch on access to services and the cost of services, and I think it's very relevant to a lot of people. It's not a treaty, it's going to come out with opinions, but these opinions are important because these opinions will be looked at by the wider world, and these opinions will be looked at by the process that was described earlier, going forward into the WSIS review conference, in the WSIS forum that's taking place in parallel to the WTPF in May, but also, more importantly, the WSIS review conference that the ITU are holding in May 2014 and then the UN General Assembly in 2015. So if you're around in Geneva in May, please come to the WTPF.
Thank you, Nigel. But just getting back to the wicket, any comments on the outcomes and or assessment of the possible impact on internet governance? Yes, Eric.
I'll just draw a line a little bit between the discussions at WICKET and through WTPF and then up through to the next ITU Treaty Conference, which would be Plenipot 14. And briefly, just picking up on something positive from Wicked was that it did bring to the forefront and very much in the open a global conversation, a dialogue about various views on how the Internet's IP-based networks and content and traffic exchange will best thrive. I think that there are shared goals amongst countries about the goals of development, how to achieve. But what came out is that there are some different views about how best to achieve them. And so in some very narrow areas, there was strong disagreement. But there were many areas at Wicked where consensus was formed and some things were modernized. So there were important things there. Now, an important point to take from the Wicked is those discussions that came into the forefront there, they don't stop. They did not stop in December. They continue. And, of course, they continue at WTPF this May. And what I think is helpful to draw out and have an understanding about and why what happens in May is important is, although these opinions that will come out, and there are six draft opinions right now, they aren't binding, but they are opinions, the text of which will go on to inform how items are brought up at Plenipot 14, which is a treaty conference. So in that context, what I think everyone must do, and in particular when you're looking at things at a from the point of view of preserving a multi-stakeholder model, is to look very carefully at the context of everything written and ensure that each of these opinions is reflective of the roles of all the current participants. And are they in there, are they not? And there are a few places where I think it's important to look quite carefully. I think in the draft opinions that concern IPv4 to IPv6, for example, I mean, if you look at it, the ICANN is not mentioned, which is, I think, rather an interesting omission and something that merits being addressed in the discussions in May. So I point that out. I think that that there is a lot of good work going on, that the discussions are going to be important. They are not themselves binding, but they are very informative and lead to next steps. So it is important to pay attention at this time because what's written here will have influence later.
This one's working. Okay, I can see that many of the panelists would like to take the floor. First, it was Marcus, then Wolfgang, Bill, and Tarek.
Yes, thank you. I would like to pick up on something that was said in a comment from the floor. These problems that were brought up, they are, of course, real, but I think one of the problems quite often is that the governments who bring them up don't even know that they are already addressed in the country because they don't necessarily talk to the community. And I would like to echo the importance the national and regional IGFs can fulfill in actually answering these questions, but it forces to bring governments together and talk to the community. And I've seen that in some examples where I was told this is actually the first time the government talked to us. So this is really, I think, an important part of the solution, that we help inform opinions and help having informed discussions on real issues.
Thank you. I think those days it's difficult or risky to speak about the ITU. There are ITU member states, and among ITU member states there are different opinions. And what I also observed, I was a member, a civil society representative in the German governmental delegation, that some governments speak in different bodies with a different language. So that means they did not do their own homework, and to coordinate for a unified governmental position, you know, in the GAC they have one position, in the ITU they have another position, and this does not work together. So that's why it's not so easy to get a full picture. And I can only echo what already two speakers have said. We have to put this into a process. And what I see looking towards the October Plenipotentiary Conference in October 2014 is that the Constitution and the Convention is renegotiated. So the ITU has a three-layered regulatory system. On the lowest level is the regulation, the telecommunication regulation, which was negotiated in Dubai. And on the higher level is the Convention and the Constitution. And the risk is that we will see in 2014 a similar constellation like in Dubai, so that there are some member states want to have an extension of the mandate of the ITU, and other member states want to prevent this. What Tarek has said, we should be very clear what we want to achieve and what we want to avoid. So that means if some member states go to an extension of the mandate via the Constitution and the Convention, then the risk is high that the ITU will be split. Because you know, so far, we have a unified Constitution and Convention for the ITU. So there's a high risk that this could end in a very complicated situation. The wisest solution would be if ITU itself could find its place in the multi-stakeholder intergovernance ecosystem and not try to develop an alternative system, because such an alternative system would fail. But the ITU is certainly welcome as partner of a global multi-stakeholder ecosystem where each different organization plays its special role according to the existing mandate and not an extended mandate.
Bill?
Thank you, Peter. I'd like to take a slightly different tack. One of the things that I noticed in about the wicket was that it had a very positive positive effect on the internet organizations and the internet community, in my opinion. It was very clear for some years in advance during the preparations for the wicket that there was going to be a threat of an intrusion into internet space. And the friends of the internet from the business community, from civil society, and most particularly the internet organizations themselves really rose to the challenge and started working together in a very positive way. A good example is the excellent analytic work and awareness raising that the Internet Society, I would say, led on, but they worked with their friends in the IETF, bringing governments in, raising awareness. ICANN contributed through its fellowship program. The RIRs were very active in their regions and working collaboratively in the ITU context to reach out to governments, friends, and not so friendly to try to explain to them how the internet works and the importance of supporting the multi-stakeholder model and the native internet institutions, as I would call them. Many of the CCTLDs worked very closely with their own governments, again, often appearing in the national delegations to the wicket. So I think there was a really galvanizing effect there that was demonstrated in the outreach to government and governments on the ground at the wicket. There was a very large presence of internet organizations and probably less so of civil society, but they worked very effectively in the background and I think had a significant impact in controlling the dangers that possibly would have arisen had they not been there. So I think while the vote was polarizing and that was generally negative, there were very positive community outputs from this. These efforts continue leading up to the policy forum. There is a very good mobilization there, and most of these organizations will appear. The ITU seems to understand this to a certain degree because they are more open than usual to having participation from non-member organizations and even individuals and academics at some level. So I would say that we've seen a new interest in the multi-stakeholder system arise out of the out of the wicket. And we saw that, we're seeing that, in fact, here at this meeting, where there are new government people from states that have not previously taken part in the GAC attending to find out what this thing is all about, and they're being very positively impressed. So within the ITU, I think the impact probably is overall negative. On the larger context of supporters of the Internet, I'd say it was quite the opposite. Thank you.
Jamil, come.
Thank you, Peter. I want to build on what Wolfgang has mentioned previously, that some governments go to ITU forums and vote in a direction, and when they attend the GAC, they speak differently. I would call them, in this case, they are undecided governments, governments in the middle, that they don't know exactly or haven't yet decided exactly where they want to belong. Sometimes it's an internal debate between different ministries, foreign affairs, for example, on science and technology, or foreign affairs and telecommunication. Our work and our, in my opinion, our mission as a community to focus on these middle countries, on these undecided countries, and to try to explain the benefits of the multi-stakeholder model and to try to include them within the process. The polarization, as Bill has mentioned, has started at the wicket during the preparatory process, and it was clear that there is going to be a polarization, maybe not that severe, nobody has expected it that severe, but it was clear that there will be a polarization when it comes to internet governance issue. But this is only one station in the journey. Similar polarization will continue within the WTPF, and it has been mentioned as well in the plenipotentiary. And we need to do our duty and our homework as a multi-stakeholder community when working together in closing this gap and convincing the undecided, the middle countries and the middle governments, if we want to call them. Thank you.
Derek, Paul, did you want to take the floor?
Thanks, Peter. I guess I should. The issues that there are a couple of issues, and stepping back a bit with ongoing issues that I see with the ITU meetings that we're looking at here. And I agree with the speaker who said before that this is something that's going to go on, and we need to be looking forward quite a few years to all of these events that are coming up, because I think one of the issues is the ongoing confusion about the mandate of the ITU and the role of the internet and the place of the internet in these meetings. It's worth bearing in mind that the WTPF is called the WTPF in its acronym, obviously. But you look at the expansion of that, and in the 2013 meeting, it is known as the World Telecommunications /ICT Policy Forum. Previously, it was just telecommunications, and that's quite a significant change, which I think is also going to be reflected in the possible proposals for a mandate to be extended in future.
But the topics are exclusively on internet, nothing else.
Exactly, and so I think we need to obviously be very, very, very aware of that, but also to be aware of the and questioning of the meaning of the term multi-stakeholder in this context, because I mean I think we should recognise that there's been steps towards openness in various ITU processes, but those steps really can't compensate, to be very frank, for the fact that this is an intergovernmental uni-stakeholder, a political decision-making body, and that is to try and reconcile that with multi-stakeholderism, as I think we understand it here, is difficult or impossible. The preparation for the WTPF has involved this informal expert group in which the NRO participated, and although we were on the group and we gave substantial contributions, I think we were sorry that through three rounds of edits, our contributions are not visible in any sense in the outcome of the report. And what we see in the report is really the same series of sort of allegations of problems and issues with the internet, which somehow can be addressed. It's assumed by taking a different approach. We'll have to see what actually comes out of the of the meeting, but it's quite interesting to us that there are two out of the six opinions have got internet addressing implications and IPv6 implications in particular, and those opinions continue to retain the same old sort of confused suggestions about different issues and different aspects of the IPv6 situation that simply need to be clarified. And we've made some efforts and we'll continue to make some efforts towards that, and hopefully find a positive outcome by the end.
Thank you, Paul, and I would like to thank you all. I think we have run out of time. Just as a conclusion, well, to me, internet governance is a reconciliation of different interests. I think it has been announced during this meeting to maintain the multi-stakeholder model. It was also mentioned that we should have cooperation rather than confrontation, and we should think beyond the Business Plus 10. That is, we should be proactive. We mentioned the principles, the enhanced cooperation, the improvements to the IGF, and this should be sustainable goals. So, in a nutshell, I think we should work towards an enhanced internet governance. I wish to thank you all, and I would like to ask you to give a round of applause to the panelists. Thank you, and I hope to see you in Geneva and the WTPF.